It is good to see everybody who is here this evening. In your life, have you ever found yourself surrounded by people and you just really felt uncomfortable? And you really thought to yourself, I don't belong here. I'm out of place. I don't fit. I need to leave. My sermon this evening is entitled, Where Do You Fit? Because as we examine our lives and the way in which we live, you're going to see that they're going to be people that when we're around them, we feel like we've known them forever. There have been people that I have met at times in my life on vacations and going to gospel meetings that by the end of the week, I feel like they've been dear friends of mine for decades, but I just met them. What I want you to be thinking as we go through the sermon this evening is answering this question. Exactly where is it that I do fit? We're going to start the sermon by going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now, verses 14 through 17. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? All right, what's the answer to the question? The answer is none. Righteousness, lawlessness, exact opposites. Don't go together at all. The next question, what communion has light with darkness? Well, the answer is none. They're absolute opposites. Next question, what accord has Christ with Belial? The answer is none. Next question, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? The answer should be none. You see, if you are someone who is righteous, someone who's following Christ, someone who's having communion with God and you're a child of the light, you're a believer. You fit with believers. You fit with righteous individuals. You fit together with those who are striving to walk in the light. But on the other side, if you're someone who's practicing lawlessness, you're an unbeliever, you're walking in darkness, you're a servant of the devil. Do you see that? You got two exact opposites here. And the idea is, you shouldn't really fit over here in this darkness. You shouldn't be over here. You don't go over here. Don't be part of it. This is where you belong. In Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, very interesting scripture opening the Psalms. I was taught this. This is not original with me. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Notice, if you will, the three verbs. First of all, you're walking along with the ungodly. The person around you, the people around you, they're ungodly. And you are walking along with them. And now that you've been along with them long enough, now you're stopping and you're standing with them. I fit here. Not only am I walking with them, I'm standing with them. And then now after you're standing with them, then you finally just sit down, I belong here. This is where I belong. This is where I fit. It's a process. It's a process where first you're walking, then you're standing, and finally you're sitting. This is where you are. In Proverbs chapter 6, he says in verse 16 through 18, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven of them are an abomination to him. And in that list, you have a heart that devises wicked plans and feet that are swift in running to evil. And so there are people out in the world who literally from day to day are devising wicked plans. They're servants of Satan. They're walking in darkness. They're unbelievers. And they're planning wickedness. And when it comes to the wickedness that they're planning, when it comes to practicing it, their feet run swiftly to it. This is understood. This is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. Now, the question again is this. Do you fit with these people? Do you feel comfortable around people who are devising wicked plans? Do you feel comfortable around people who are literally running swiftly to evil, running to the sin, getting there as quick as they can? Do you fit in that? I want to start this part of the lesson now by going to John 12 and verse 43. Very simple concept. In the context here, you have some individuals who actually believe that Jesus is the Christ. And even though they believe that Jesus is the Christ, they won't confess it. And he says the reason they won't confess it is because that love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, I'm just going to tell y'all something about myself. I like to have friends. I want people to like me. I would say that that has actually been a weakness of mine all of my life. Even when I was a young boy, I wanted the people at school, I wanted the boys and the girls to like me. The problem is as you grow older and you have that same mindset, when you're young little kids, okay, most people are not doing any kind of wickedness when they're young little kids. But what happens when they reach the age of transition? And all of a sudden the hormones start kicking in. The next thing you know, there's people that you grew up with that are going out and drinking. And there's people that you grew up with that are going out and getting high on drugs. And the people that you grow up with are getting involved in all kinds of sexual immorality. Okay, what do you do when the people around you are going directions that are leading them into the world and into sin, and you know it's going that way? You have to make a decision. Am I going to go with them? Am I going to walk with them? Am I going to sit with them? Am I going to become part of this world to where I fit over here? Or am I going to break away from it? You see, those that are going to be choosing to go into darkness, those that are unbelievers, those that are going to be serving Satan, unfortunately, numerically speaking and mathematically speaking, they're the majority. The majority of mankind is going to travel the broad way that leads to destruction. The question is, are we going to go with them? And if your desire for people to be your friends is so strong, you may find yourself doing something. And that is, you may find yourself becoming a chameleon. Luke says in chapter 6, verse 26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Do you know what is required of you for everyone to speak well of you? You have to become a chameleon. You have to be a very good actor to where you're trying to listen to the people and observe the way they're speaking, observe the way they're living, and figure out what is it they want me to say, what do they want me to do, how do they want me to be, and whatever that is, you become that person because you want them to like you. You'll see that mindset is quite dangerous because you want to fit in with your friends. There's the problem. I want to fit in, and for me to fit in with you, I've got to go along with you. I've got to participate in the sins that you're choosing to participate in practice. What's the old saying? Birds of a feather flock together. You know that. In all of our lives, we've all had to make choices and decisions as to people that we are not going to be friends with. Because it's understood that if I'm going to hang with you, if you're going to be my companion, if you're going to be my friend, I'm going to be driven by my desire to be your friend, to have you praise me, to have you like me. I'm going to be driven by that so much that I will become like you. One of the hardest lessons I've had to learn in life is I need to be wise in choosing my friends. Because if you don't, you're going to find the people that are in the world will lead you to be exactly like them. James chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be the friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." You see here again, individuals that are walking in darkness, they are following Satan, they're unbelievers, they're living in wickedness, and you want to get along with them. You want them to like you, you want them to be your friend. And so you start going with them. You remember the very opening over in Psalm 1:1? First you're walking with them, then you're standing with them, and now you're finally sitting down with them. But in the text here, you've been around it so long, you like it. You are friends with the world. You're friends with the lust of the flesh. You feel quite comfortable around immorality. You're friends with materialism. You feel quite comfortable around covetousness. You are friends with the pride of life. You feel quite comfortable around selfishness. You feel comfortable and you fit in the world. That's where you are. Now, if that's describing you, you need to wake up and recognize, I feel comfortable in the world. I feel comfortable in sin. I feel comfortable in wickedness. Not only do I feel comfortable, I like it here. I fit here. I've actually preached a sermon before and had someone say, wow, I didn't realize it, but that described me. Even though they're coming to worship services, when they get away from the worship services, the people they were hanging with, that they felt comfortable with, that they were friends with, was wickedness. And the reason they felt comfortable there was because they'd been in it so long it had become their world. And they fit there. They were friends with it. And in doing so, they'd become the enemy of God. Proverbs says in chapter 4, 14 through 15, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Do you get the message? This is one of those that kind of like, hey, wake up. Slap you around a little bit. Wake up, wake up, wake up. He says it five ways. Don't enter the path of the wicked, number one. Don't walk in the way of evil, number two. Avoid it, number three. Don't travel on it, number four. Turn away from it, pass on. I got the message. Don't even go down that path. Don't even start walking that way. Don't go that way, because if you don't walk that way, you won't sit that way, and you won't stand that way, and you won't get caught up in it. Stay away from it. Choose your friends wisely, because they will direct your paths either into wickedness or righteousness. And then we're going to close this part of the sermon with 1 Peter chapter 4, 3 through 4. The text here is describing where these Gentiles were. The text says, reading from the outline, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked. Now look at this verb here. We walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. Okay. There was a time in these individuals' past life when it is true, they walked in lewdness. They walked in lust. They walked in drunkenness. This was their lifestyle. They walked in drinking parties. They walked in abominable idolatries. This was the way they lived. This is where they fit. But then they became Christians. And it says in verse 4, in regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them. I'm going to go back to the outline on this one. You do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Look at this verb here. Run. You walk with it, and then it goes from walking to running with it. You don't run with them anymore. You heard that phrase before? You don't run with these people anymore. You're not going with them. You remember the opening verse we read over in Proverbs? The six things, the seven things that are abomination of the Lord, six things that he hates. Feet that are swift in running to wickedness and iniquity and sin. Okay, there may be a time in your life when you were someone that walked in it, you were even running to it with your friends. But now you won't do it anymore. You won't walk with them in the drinking parties. You won't walk with them in the sexual immorality. You won't walk with them in all the idolatry out there. You won't walk with them in their sin anymore. And because you won't walk with them or run with them even, they're going to speak evil of you. Isn't that interesting? And these people at one time were your friends, but now they're speaking evil because you won't sin with them anymore. Now then, we need to talk about the separation. One of the best texts I know of in the Bible that deals with separation is going to be found over in 2 Corinthians. I think I've added this one to the sermon outline. Yeah, you're looking for it in the outline because it's not there. Therefore, come up from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Now we're going to go to John 17. The opening verse I showed you there in 2 Corinthians is talking about sanctification. Coming out from among them. There may have been a time when they fit in darkness. They fit in wickedness. They fit in sin. But now they don't fit there anymore. Because now they've obeyed the gospel. Now they are in Christ. Now they're striving to live a life of righteousness. Now they're striving to be the light of the world. And so as a consequence, you have to make this decision to come out from among them. I'm just going to be honest with you, brethren. Hardest thing I ever did in my life was walk away from my friends. When I'm talking about my friends, I'm talking about my friends that were in the world. My friends that would have kept me locked in that world if I would have stayed with them. Coming out from among them and not going back anymore. This is a lesson we have to learn. You can't hang with them. You can't run with them. You can't walk with them. You can't sit with them. You can't be friends with them. Because if you fit with them, you're going to go right back into the world. You have to break away from it. You have to be separated from it. Now going over to John 17, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. They are not of the world just as I am not of the world. But notice what he says in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. I told you earlier, from childhood, I want people to be my friend. I want people to like me. That led me to a danger. And the danger was I wanted people to like me so much I became the chameleon. And nobody knew me. I could change in the blink of an eye to fit you, to make you like me. That's not Christianity. If you're not going to run with them anymore, and you won't go to the drinking parties, and you let people know, I don't do this anymore because I'm a Christian. Oh. Then they start speaking evil of you. The text here talks about how the world hates you. There's people that, quite frankly, don't want to be around you. They feel uncomfortable around you because you don't talk like they talk. You don't walk like they walk. You don't live like they live. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And they know it when they're in your presence. And they don't like you for that very reason. But look at verse 17. There's the word sanctify. Sanctify is the concept of being separated. Separated from the world, set apart. And what is doing the sanctifying and the separating is the word of God. These individuals that we're going to be reading about later on in 1 Corinthians, they got where they were through faith into who Jesus was and understanding what the truth is and what is expected of us in a relationship with God through Jesus. Let's look at the verse I'm talking about. First of all, Hebrews 4 and 12. One of the best verses on the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I was actually teaching y'all this in the Bible class this morning. How that what separates mankind from the lost and the saved is the Word of God. The Word of God is the great divider. It is living. It is powerful. It's piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and it is a discerner. The Word of God, get this, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It tells you what you really are and where you fit. And if you're going to fit in God's people, you're going to have to come out from among them. You got to come out of the darkness. You got to come out of the wickedness. You got to repent. You can't run with it anymore. You can't hang with that world anymore. What separates us is our faith and going to the Word of God. And the Word of God is showing us what righteousness is, what holiness is, and how to live that life. Look at the text here in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. I'm going to go to the outline and read this one. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. Now I'm just going to make an observation here. When he says in the very next verse, and such were some of you, that there were brethren in the Corinthian church who at one time in their life felt extremely comfortable around adulterers. They felt extremely comfortable at home around homosexuals. They felt extremely comfortable in their home around sodomites. Those were the people they hung with. That's where they fit. And when they were around people in the world that were living that way, they felt quite comfortable and were friends with it. You could go on throughout this entire list. They felt comfortable around thieves. They felt comfortable around covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. Whenever they were around people that were living that way, hey, I'm cool. I feel good here. I fit here because this is the way I live. That's what they were. But the text says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, there it is again, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. One of the hardest things I had to tell my friends was, guys, I don't go that way anymore because I'm a Christian. And I'm telling you, folks, I didn't go down good with them. They didn't like it at all. Because they understood what that meant was, I'm not coming back. These individuals here at one time who fit in the world of all this immorality, that changed when they obeyed the gospel. Because then they became washed, their sins were washed away, they became sanctified. They were separated from that world where they fit at one time and were quite comfortable at one time and were friends with it at one time. They've separated themselves from that and now they're going to be living a life of righteousness. You see this? That's what happens when you are led to faith by the Word of God and led to righteousness and truth by the Word of God. The truth sanctifies because it tells you the way you're supposed to be living a life pleasing to God. And when you start living that life, that's where you fit. That being said, now let's go to the last part of the sermon. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. You were once darkness. Remember how we opened the sermon? Darkness and light, do they go together? Nope. Well, at one time in their lives, these individuals were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's the sanctification, there's the separation, there's the holiness, there's the righteousness. You walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. When you're going to be walking as children of light, you're going to be walking in a lifestyle of goodness. You're going to be walking in a lifestyle that is righteousness. You're going to be walking in a lifestyle that is being driven by truth. And because you walk as children of light, you fit with children of light. You feel comfortable around people who are living righteousness. You feel comfortable around people who are trying to live the truth in their life. In Ephesians chapter 5, continuing, he says in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So on one side, you're walking as children of light. On the other side, you're having no fellowship. You see that? No fellowship at all with the unfruitful works of darkness. You don't fit there. Don't go back there. Don't try to get back to it somehow, some way, and think I can hang over here in the world and still go to heaven. Doesn't work, folks. Doesn't work. You have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2, 7 through 8. And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And what does it say about him? Well, I don't have it on the outline. Let's go back to the outline that you've got in front of you. The text talks about how it vexed his righteous soul. All right. Did Lot fit in Sodom and Gomorrah? No. I've often wondered, why'd you stay there then? Why do you think I can make this work? He didn't fit there and he should have got out of there as quick as he could. There's going to be times in your life, if you are walking as children of light, there's going to be times in your life when you are going to be around people who are in darkness still. And by just being around them, you're going to feel, and this is the key, uncomfortable. Because you're realizing, I don't fit here. I'm out of place here. I don't belong here. Good. That's exactly how you're supposed to feel. You're supposed to realize, I don't fit here. Not only do I not fit here, I'm disturbed by what I'm seeing. I'm disturbed by what I'm hearing. I'm disturbed by the immorality that is around me. The old King James talked about how it vexed Lot's righteous soul. Now Acts chapter 2. verse 44 through 46. Now all who believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now look at verse 46. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. You see, these individuals who obeyed the gospel here in Acts 2, you know where they fit? They fit together with other Christians. Do you see that? Where do they want to be? They wanted to be together daily, one accord in the temple. Where are you going to be tomorrow? We're going to go back to the temple. Next day, where are we going to see? We're going to go back to the temple. We're going to go back. We're just going to keep worshiping God together. We're going to be together. They're breaking bread from house to house together. They ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart together. Where they fit and where they wanted to be was together with other Christians, because that's where they fit. Acts 4 now, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Do you see the level of the unity there? One heart. One soul. You're so close, you fit precisely together because you are all striving to serve God. I just put it to you bluntly. You know where I fit? Right here. If you wonder where this is going, where I fit is in your company. Where I fit is you at my house. Where I fit is around you. Where I feel comfortable is around you. Because we have the same mind, we have the same judgment, we have the same individual living in us. We're striving to live the life of a child of God, walking as children of light. And because we all have this commonality, I understand you. That's how I can go to a gospel meeting, have never met the people, never known them before, and by the end of the week, I'm crying when I leave because I have to leave dear friends who I feel like I've known forever. How do you get to that? We all have the same individual living in us. We all have Christ in us. We all have God in us. We all have the same values. As you go back to this text here, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, he says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Do you see that? That's the level of unity that God wants us to have. Same mind. That's, as I've told you, that's how I can go to someone and just start interacting with them and feel like I've known them forever. Because we got the same mind. And I can be around them for a little while, and I can be perfectly joined together with them because we fit. We feel comfortable around each other because we have the same mind. We have the same judgment. We're letting the Word of God mold us and shape us. We have separated ourselves from the world, and we're striving to live as children of light, trying to live a life of goodness, a life of righteousness, a life of truth. And whenever you are living that way, that's where you're going to fit. That's where you're going to feel comfortable. I don't mind telling you, when I watch what's happening on television, what's going on in the world out there, I don't want to be there. I'm not curious. I don't want to go watch it. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't fit there. I don't fit there. So my question for you in closing is this. Where do you fit? Where do you feel comfortable? Do you fit in the world? Are you uncomfortable here tonight at worship services? Can you not wait to get away from us? If that's the case, why? Are you running to get back to the darkness? Can't wait to get back to wickedness? Can't wait to get back to sin? And that's where you feel comfortable. If that's the case, you need to understand, if you're going the broad way that leads to destruction and you go with them, you're going to go to destruction. Feel comfortable, feel at home, feel at peace with the few who are choosing to travel the narrow, difficult way. with those who are actually striving to sanctify themselves by the Word of God and the truth, to come out from among the world to live a life of righteousness pleasing to God. And when you do this, because you have done this, the only place you're going to feel comfortable, truly at peace and fit, is together with God's people. That's why every time we come together in the assembly and we're worshiping God together, that's the highlight of my week. Because this is where I fit. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who is not in Christ yet, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, but you haven't become a Christian yet, confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into the body of Christ. If you're in Christ already, and you may have been driven by your desire to please the people in the world around you to where you've gone into sin with them, if that's describing you, come out from among them. Come out. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Come on. Get out of it and come home. Come back to the family of God. Come back to God. Come back where you fit. And keep going forward in righteousness. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. We'll stand and sing the song that has been selected.